Welcome everybody to the CVAG Executive Committee agenda of Monday, April 24, 2023. It is 4:30. I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. Before I do so, I'm going to just welcome, although they've been part of the Executive Committee, they haven't been here in person yet, so Supervisor Gutierrez and Mayor Ortiz, welcome to our Executive Committee. And with that, I'll ask for a roll call.
City of Palm Springs. City of Indio.
Present.
29 Palm Band of Mission Indian. Torres Martinez of the Cuyah Indian. Amazon Band of Cuyah Indian. Ala Caliente Band of Cuyah Indian.
Here.
City of Indian Well.
Present.
City of Cathedral City.
Here.
City of Palm Desert.
Here.
City of La Quinta.
Present.
City of Blythe.
Here.
County of Riverside District 4.
Here.
County of Riverside District 5.
Here.
City of Ranch Moran.
Here.
City of Desert Hot Springs. City of Coachella.
Here.
Chair Wilborn.
Thank you. I'm going to ask Mayor Lamp if you can see us in pleasure.
Please stand. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
If we get Mayor Gardner here, we'll have five mayors. Why wouldn't we be no mayors?
Tech power.
There you go.
Got it.
Mr. Executive Director, any modifications to the agenda?
None.
Thank you. We'll move on now to item number five. We do have one request to speak, and that's on the public comments, and it's Ken DeMong.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Honorable Chair and members of the committee. Thank you for seeing me. My name is Ken Small. I'm the Public Works Director for the City of Indian Wells. I'm here to speak to you today about CD Sync. To be honest with you, I was a skeptic of that program, but I'm here to thank the CVAG staff, particularly Eric Howell and Chris Gunderson, specifically for their help with traffic for the tennis garden. Obviously, we still have some tweaks to do to make sure that traffic flows a lot better than it does now. But the tools that were available through the CDC program were invaluable. The remote control of the signals, the video cameras, it wouldn't be over. And I think the thing that I wanted to appreciate, express my appreciation most, was the collaborative effort between CVAG staff and local jurisdiction. I was invited into their traffic management center, observed, I was able to put input. A lot of the things that I was concerned about local control. So I just wanted to own what I had as a skeptic and now a proponent, and I wanted to thank CVAG staff. Thank you, Jim. I'm good.
Thank you.
Well,
I don't know if there are any questions or any comments.
Thank you.
And I'm glad that you all have been able to get into a good little group there between your jurisdictions.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Very, very good. Mr. Chair, any announcements?
I've got a few. And one of them relates to the meeting room itself. Welcome back to this meeting room. I think most of you know we moved about 80-90% of our operation about a mile down the street, but we still have two pieces of the CVAG offices here. One is our homeless program, and the other is our traffic management center. Thanks, Kim. Yeah, we've come a long way. We're going to get a lot further with the traffic management center. And for those of you that, unlike Kim, haven't seen our traffic management center, I believe this will be a short meeting. And I'd invite you to come upstairs and check it out. Spend 5 or 10 minutes, not going to be a big deal. We've got a long way to go. We've done 3 corridors in the Coachella Valley. We've got another over 20 under construction now. And you'll see the functionality of the TMC is really something that'll be very useful for us, particularly this time of year. We've got all these major events. With respect to the meeting itself, we are sort of in Zoom mode. We are Zooming in potentially two people. I know of one, and that's Mike Jenkins, who can be heard if he wanted to. He's our legal counsel. If you did have legal questions, it's a good opportunity to bring him in, not have him make a three-hour drive from Manhattan Beach to here and back. We can do that for any elected official, too. But just remember, we're under the old rules of the Brown Act. Mm-hmm. So that means you'd have to notify me, or more importantly, Ellie or Erica, at least a week in advance, and let us know where you're going to be. We put it on the agenda. The agenda right now says Capitol Hilton, because Scott Mattis, who is on a trip to D.C., may be calling in from the Capitol Hilton. And if he does, you'll see him up on the screen. The chair will make an announcement. And when we do so, we, of course, call on them for specific votes, et cetera. So it can be done, but we still have to have a quorum in person. So it can't be everybody, but certainly those of you that drive the furthest, sometimes takes even longer, please take advantage of the old rules. With that, one other quick item. I see Mayor Kelly here. I notified her and Mayor Ortiz and Jan Harnick, who represents RCTC on SCAG Regional Council. We're not going to accept free money. And that's not free. And sometimes things that seem to be free, of course, aren't. And this is about $500,000 of what's called REAP funding. For those of you that have listened to our homeless committee meeting, we've got this funding that comes in from SCAG, $200,000 for housing implementation, but it's really about housing elements. And CBAG doesn't want to really get in between you and the state on housing elements. And we're telling SCAG to keep the money, but apply it to any applications from the Coachella Valley. So by CBAG saying no, there's more in the pot for local agencies. And that's the extent of my report right now.
Thank you for that report. We'll move on now, and welcome Mayor Gardner.
Welcome, Mayor Gardner. Thank you.
We'll move on now to item number 7. This is the consent calendar. What are the wishes of the committee?
I wanted to see if we can have a presentation on item 7D, the housing first program. Just have an update to that and question.
And Erica, sorry for not warning me. The mayor did warn me that he'd like that. If you could just give a broad overview of our first work.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, would you like to take the rest of the consent first before we
move? No,
The CV Housing First program, as you all may recall, shifted to an in-house operation a couple of years ago. At our last meeting, you were provided kind of a recap of how we did last year, which frankly was lower than where we had been the year before in terms of permanent housing solutions. And we identified that we were working with the Homelessness Committee on some opportunities or options to address some of the hurdles that we're seeing, namely, and particularly, I should say, the idea of voucher costs not keeping pace with rent. So in the first quarter, which is what you see here, we actually had our best quarter since the beginning of the program. We're incredibly proud of our team. We wound up with 24 permanent housing solutions. That's 24 of your CB200 off the streets in the first quarter. You may be wondering why we didn't come with bells and whistles on this. We are a little cautious about whether that's a new trend or we're going to see some of the numbers we saw last year in particular as the housing market didn't change much. And part of the reason you saw a bump was that there was a new housing complex in the city of Riverside. And our clients, they received vouchers specific to that complex in the city of Riverside. And they've been on a waiting list. We actually thought they were going to be in the fourth quarter of last year. They've been on this waiting list. This complex opened up, I think that was about 5 of our clients last quarter. So we did see some positive momentum. We're proud of it. Tom has pushed us to set a very ambitious goal for this year. So we are looking to permanently house 65 individuals this year, which will be better than what we did last year. And we will certainly continue to provide quarterly updates. And I did not bring slides or have my staff report in front of you, but hopefully that covers any questions. And I'd be happy to address any questions the chair of the committee have.
Any more questions?
Mm-hmm. First of all, I just want to say thank you, because that's some amazing work that you guys are doing. 24 people out of the 200 is really great. So we really appreciate that work.
Thank you.
One question I did have on the chart where it has 18 clients move into permanent housing from CSH?
Yes. CSH is our crisis stabilization housing. These are those apartments and hotel rooms that CVAC has rented, and this is where our clients are put to undergo intensive case management, and those are the units where they stay in for about 90 days. And what we're trying to do is, as we refine our own metrics, really better understand, is our outreach working? You know, is our crisis stabilization units working? We thought we'd see more rapid resolution solutions, which we haven't seen as many since our first year. So part of the reason you're seeing some of these more refined numbers within the chart is we're trying to be really upfront about how we're finding solutions.
And what's the difference between that one and the outreach grant successes?
Yeah, so the outreach grant is more clients that we not necessarily put in a crisis stabilization unit. Some clients don't want to do that. And sometimes we're able to, over a more prolonged period, for example, work with them through our mobile access center, the bus that you've heard about and may have seen in your communities, or through our other outreach with your police departments, with code enforcement, and really engage them more on a what's called more street aspect. In general, and I'm certainly not a case manager, but in general, you see those taking a little bit more. That's not quite the same of intensity as a 90-day program, but our staff is really in tune to what the needs of the client are and trying to meet them with that.
And so for those clients, what is determined as a success?
Permanent support, permanent housing solutions.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
And it does remind us to not use acronyms like CSH. Our apologies. We'll try to define that in the future. I just might add, I gave a presentation to our newest city manager, or at least a briefing this morning in Palm Springs. And of course, we talked about the CV200 program and the successes and challenges. And he was quick to say, well, the city, which certainly double or triple its investment if you could get, you know, even more people off the street. And I'm cautious about talking about our success because one of our biggest challenges is just we don't have enough permanent doors. There's only so much we could do in our program until that siphon opens up more. There just aren't permanent solutions, and we're reaching out to Riverside to find permanent solutions. That's not a good sign. Mm-hmm. So, for what it's worth.
But if you recall, when we looked at the numbers of people in our shelters that were from the greater Riverside County, there was plenty of people that we've been helping west of us.
Yeah.
That have taken beds for our residents here.
Yeah.
So
we had it.
We're working
with it.
Yes,
but yeah, just the number of beds that the entire county was using.
Correct.
So they owe us a few.
They do.
Yes, we don't want anybody on the west.
We don't want anybody.
Yeah. Well, any other questions?
Sure.
With that, I'll take the motion for consent calendar.
The second.
There's a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
You don't need a roll call.
No. All the favors in the public say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Any abstentions? No. Motion carried. Move on now to item number 8. This is an update on the looming closure of Chocolate Valley Sacred.
I'm back. Chair and committee members, you'll recall that last month at the recommendation of the Public Safety Committee, you directed CVAG staff to work with the City of Blythe to address the looming closure of the Chippewa Valley State Prison. The reason I'm here today is, unfortunately, the interim city manager and vice mayor were unable to make it last minute. But they did send a video, which we're going to play, and then I was going to hand off the floor to the mayor, who can speak about some of the efforts. And it's your staff report, which does provide some recap of the efforts of the city, that CVAC staff has worked with the city on. They were featured, this was featured at the Outlook Conference of the city held, and CVAC staff also participated in a press conference that tried to raise awareness, as well as send a letter, which is in your package as well. So with that, we're going to play the video. Then turn to you.
Governor Newsom has stated his commitment to decreasing the number of prisons in California, and the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation has been closing prisons in the past few years as a part of a push to reduce state spending. The latest closure in this effort is outlined in Governor Newsom's 2022-23 state budget and proposes that Chuckawalla Valley State Prison in Blythe, California, be closed by 2025. While many approved of this decision as a step towards decreasing prisons in California, residents of Blythe are left asking if Chuckawalla is the right choice. Located in the heart of the desert, the city of Blythe is a rural community with few economic prospects. Chuckawalla is one of Blythe's top employers, providing around 800 jobs to a population of 14,000 residents. Blythe's economy has already been struggling. In 2020, the California State Auditor ranked Blythe as the ninth most distressed city out of 430 California cities in terms of financial health. Blythe's residents are also challenged with the disadvantaged community label, with a median household income of $49,000 and 22.4% of people living in poverty. If Chuckawalla were to close, the jobs and income it provides in the community would be lost, and the economic impact would be devastating. With a low cost of living, Blythe makes it financially feasible for inmates and their families to stay together. Relocating to a new city to stay close to loved ones could mean intense financial burden for these families. Further, the families of prison workers may also have to relocate. These departures would represent a loss of valuable teachers, public servants, and essential workers for the city of Blythe. Chuckawalla also plays a crucial role in maintaining Blythe's Palo Verde Hospital. As the only community hospital within 50 miles of Blythe, Chuckawalla's inmates and correctional officers, as well as their families, all patron Palo Verde Hospital. It's not clear that Palo Verde could provide the same health services following Chuckawalla's closure. So why was Chuckawalla selected for closure? According to the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, this decision was based on factors such as a prison's operating costs and the impact closure would have on the local workforce, among other reasons. But many think another prison, the California Rehabilitation Center in Norco, California, is both more expensive to the state and less important to its local economy as compared to Chuckawalla. This prison, also known as CRC, is one of the 12 oldest prisons in California, and its aging infrastructure represents a significant financial burden on the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. The Legislative Analyst's report on state prison infrastructure suggests that CRC requires $1.1 billion in infrastructure improvements, while Chuckawalla only requires $430 million in repairs. The per capita operational costs of Chuckawalla and CRC are $58,000 and $68,000 respectively. At around 2,000 inmates, this means that CRC costs the state around $20 million more per year than Chuckawalla. Advocacy groups have also called for CRC's closure, citing unsafe health conditions, overcrowding, and homicide and suicide rates. CRC has less inmate programs than Chuckawalla, and its infrastructure is more vulnerable to natural disasters such as earthquakes. Among the proponents of closing CRC are the residents of Norco, California, who have called for the prison's closure for years. Meanwhile, Blythe's residents are enthusiastic supporters of the prison in their community. CRC plays a relatively less crucial role in sustaining the economy of its respective community as compared to Chuckawalla. Located in a thriving region of the Inland Empire, CRC's facilities could easily be repurposed by the public or private sector if closed. In fact, CRC facilities used to belong to the Norconian, an Art Deco hotel. Located in a community with a bustling economy, CRC is not able to offer the families of inmates the same cost of living that Blythe can. The median home price in Blythe is $219,000, while Norco's is $775,000. CRC is the obvious candidate for closure. This alternative solution avoids economic disarray for an already struggling rural community, while better addressing the state's priorities in closing prisons in the first place. Not to mention, this is a win-win situation for the cities of Blythe and Norco. There is much at stake. Blythe residents have joined forces and formed the Save Chuck Coalition to fight to make their voices heard. State legislators have also expressed solidarity with this movement by submitting letters to Governor Newsom requesting that the decision to close Chuckawalla be overturned. The people of Blythe need your help spreading the word about how Chuckawalla's closure would affect their community. Join the Save Chuck Coalition and help ensure a more promising future for Blythe.
Mayor DuPont, any updates?
Not at this time. We had a meeting the other day, and we spoke with a staff member at the governor's office and gave her a lot of information that she wasn't really up to or whatever. So she's supposed to be speaking with the governor. Also, we're supposed to have a meeting maybe in a couple weeks with the secretary of prisons to give us an update where we're at. But we still have not got our paper request act that we asked for. We got some of it, but they still haven't come and explained to us why they chose Blythe. There hasn't been no reason, or whatever, but all we've been doing is digging information up, showing the difference of the two prisons, how much money can save, lots of money for taxpayers. You know, this is the key thing, it's taxpayers' money. $20 million just to run that prison over the other prison. But, Blythe is unique prison out there. It's already have ironwood that's out there. And when this one shuts down, it's going to hurt the other prison. It's one of the cheapest to run because there's two prisons in one location. Same water farm, same sewer farm, solar panels. It's in a unique location for the situation. And the state has room to build three more there. Recently, they were going to put a women's prison and two other prisons out there. And so that's where we're at. We have PVID on board. I went to their meeting last Tuesday, and they're on board to do what they could do. We have got a lot of people out there trying to do what we can try to get done. Without Mallory and Johnny Rodriguez has got a background in law enforcement that's unbelievable. He does his homework. You know what I'm saying? He's out there doing every little thing he can find and work on to try to educate the state and trying to show that it's a benefit. It's a moneymaker. You know what I mean? To the state. It's our taxpayers' money. So we're still going to work hard at it, going from there. And I'm working with MWD now also. They're going to probably come on board and get some of their people to work with us. But I'm trying to get where we actually can go and meet with the governor personally. We're trying to get that done. So, and I'm just saying, Mallory couldn't make it tonight. Her son was tested positive today, and Johnny's sick, so I apologize for that, and they would love to have been here. You can see those two people are great people to have on our team. So,
well, Mayor, thank you for the update. Are there any questions?
Yeah, quick question, and I know our hospital CEO here just met with the CEO at Calgary to talk about a number of things. That impact, Sandra, yes, on what would happen if the prison closed and how do we activate access right from that location there to get transfers. My question was, knowing that, for example, the video showed 22% poverty level in Blythe and the impact on jobs and the economy, have we flipped that around to say if Blythe is bankrupt, how bad it will be, how many homeless it will be, how much more it will cost the state, and look at it from that side, knowing we have the benefits of what that does for your community, which is outstanding, that's what we want to. But what if we look at the economic impact from the negative standpoint, how much more it's going to cost taxpayers? I don't know if that would resonate anymore.
Yeah, we've had that discussion at high level. Potentially like becoming unincorporated, right, because of a bankruptcy, for example. And I think Mallory mentioned something about the report that was put together by the grand jury. And provide a lot of data statistics on that. So, we just got to continue to push, advocate, and hopefully they listen. We got to figure out another anchor out there. I don't know what that looks like, what that is, but it's a struggle.
Well, one thing, we haven't let Mallory turn take off her boxing gloves yet. She's quite a young lady, but like everybody's saying, yes. There's issues there. Ironwood's the first employer there. Chuckawalla's the second. And the rest is ag, or pretty much ag. And, one of the things we have are a border town there in Arizona. It's just, things are different. So it's hard for Blythe to, be on both sides of the river. So
I think it's the only city in the report stated, the only city that's actually losing population on an ongoing basis. Mm-hmm. I don't know by the percentages.
Since the announcement?
No, it's been going on for a while. Yeah.
So we've all, you know, done letters of support. I know individually as a city we have. I know with Cal Cities, the building we have as well. What more can we do? Spread the word on Save Chuck.
Anything you can do. Anybody you know. Anything you can, you know. Be honest with you, I'd love to have somebody. I'd take the governor case counsels, you know what I'm saying? The fact that, hey, you know, I go this show and do this show, but I mean, it all seems like it, you know, it helps, you know, and you met these trips. Back in the day, I'm not speaking of, our town did not want to, half the town did want it, another half didn't want it. So there was a controversy, and PBID was one of them. Back in the day, there was the Mr. Fisher, dad was, Mr. Frank Chapman was, used to be the doctor of Howard Hughes. You know, back in the day, they had their reasons for that. But after having a conversation with Bart here a couple weeks ago, and I said, Bart, it's been here 30-some years now.
Yeah.
And what do you see different over 30 years ago now? And he basically, first it was going to be on their agenda, and then he changed his mind and was able to get it on there. But my point was, after looking at it and all the other stuff that goes with it, people realize it now that it's, people of life went to try to make something happen out there. And that was their key thing. They took a busload of, three or four busloads, went to Rotary the other day. And one of the comments they made that with Rotary, I mean, back in the day, Blythe, was, I guess they took coffins, left to the captain.
Oh.
So they said, we better start to put some tractors and start hauling in coffins up there. But I'm just using that as a deal. But, you know, it's a lot of memories come back of all the past and different things to try to keep things happening. But one of the things that, that's, you know, one is, things where our valley now follow 25% of their acres. Water coming to MWD. And that's going to go on for another 10 or about 15 more years until that contract up. This year they're going to maximize 100%. So that's some of the reasons where when they did the follow program, you have less employees, you have this.
Mm-hmm. And that's what started it all.
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody's trying to help everybody. The valley's trying to help, you know, everybody else, but you don't realize when something happens, what other consequences come right with it. And we don't know some of the stuff's going to happen this prison goes through.
Right.
So that's where that's another issue coming up. That Colorado River is not solved. Up north, it's solved for a few years, but that Colorado River is not. So that's another issue. That,
those are all great points.
But one of the key things out there with that prison, they got plenty of water. They're on their separate thing and never had, I mean, there's so much benefits there that don't, they're not in the floodplain. They're not, everything is perfect location. Just a few months ago. Other than that. So.
Mayor, thank you for that update.
We got a link to this particular film.
Yeah.
I'd like the other council members to see it and to spread that around.
So absolutely. We'll make that happen. And of course you can sign up to Save Chuck.
SaveChuck.org.
Yeah.
Then I also want to thank Tom. They come down for our little conference we had in 65 years that's been going on and everything. Tom and some new staff members came to get educated and Tom seen that presentation. So Tom's the one that, you know.
Mayor De Kuna gave us a personal tour of Blythe and I appreciate that and the work with Mallory. And to Mayor Evans, your question, what more can we do? There may not be something right now, but if they are following Poppins up, we might need a few drivers. And CVAG has already taken a position of support, and we check in with Mallory every couple of weeks. And we do have a small lobbying contract that we could put to use when you tell us it's time to do so.
Okay.
All right.
Very good.
Thank you.
If there's no other questions, I'm going to move on now to item number B. This is the plot. This is a contract for phase one of the enterprise use with planning selection analysis.
That's right. Thank you, Chair. It's nice to see everyone in person finally. The other time I was in this room was when Tom was interviewing me.
Great. So,
yeah. You know, I would say this, I'm like, I don't know, I would say this staff report is a long time coming, and I really haven't been here long enough to say that, but the Finance Committee has heard me say, we need a new ERP system. We need a new ERP system. And, you know, I'm grateful they heard me and us and that need, and we budgeted for that this fiscal year. So I'm probably asking if you don't already know, what's an ERP system? Well, that's an enterprise resource planning system, and it's basically an organization-wide, well, in our case, a three organization-wide financial accounting system that ties together all the aspects of fiscal operations, including personnel. So upgrading ERP systems typically happens once every 10 to 15 years, And while CBAG, we've been using the same one for the past 22 years or so. You know, not only that, CBAG has grown tremendously in the past 20 years. No longer just pushing through transportation dollars. We're building our own projects like CB Sync and CB Link, the Arts and Music Line, CB Album First, and then Regional Energy Network, and about the Coachella Valley Conservation Commission, and you know, endowments and land purchases, and then there's Belgian Community Energy, and you know, both of those are actually in separate accounting systems right now. And we need a system that can manage and keep track of all these programs, and I would say bring them not just into the 21st century, but into the third decade of the 21st century, and really beyond. We want to set us up for success for things that we don't know that are going to come out in technology. You know, one example is we need a dynamic chart of accounts that can be paired with an updated grants management system so we can properly track all those big dollars funds getting to the valley for us. So to me, this is all about fiscal responsibility and providing the executive committee with the best information as close to real time as possible so that you all can make the right decision for TBAG and all the taxpayers out there. And I can go on and on about this. It's not very riveting to you. To me, I get real excited with my accounting manager when we talk about this every day. So if you approve the staff recommendation today, I'll be sure to have those consultants come back out in the fall and give you an update. And with that, I'd like to introduce Alan, who works at CBAG, and he's helping us lead this effort. You know, I feel fortunate to have Alan on the team because in our prior life before joining CBAG, Alan actually did the work that we're hiring out as a consultant for ERP selections and implementations. And I think he even assisted on the County of LA, their ERP implementation system. So I just wanted to have Alan come tell us a little bit about the consultant and have him at it.
Thank you, Claude.
You're welcome.
Honorable Chair and committee members, good afternoon. I'm Alan McMillan, CBAG Management Analyst over Contracts and Procurement, and we are pleased to provide a progress update on commencing Phase 1 ERP selection project. Early on, CBAG identified the need for additional expertise through the use of an ERP selection services consultant to assist CBAG in shaping its vision and timeline for the ERP procurement, and also to taking CBAG through actually a selection project project and methodology that includes conducting a needs assessment and gap analysis, including a critically needed redesign of our chart of accounts, incorporating organizational change management, identifying business and technical requirements through the development of an RFP, assisting with the vendor evaluation and selection, and concluding with the contract negotiations with the selected ERP solution provider. On March 7th, CBAG issued an RFP for selecting a consultant to conduct Phase 1 ERP selection services. A selection committee was established, consisting of the Director of Finance Administration, our accounting manager, myself, and the Director of Information Technology for the City of India. Six proposals were received, evaluated, and ranked by the selection committee, who unanimously recommended Barry Dunn be awarded the Phase 1 ERP selection services contract. Barry Dunn is an independent management, IT, and consulting firm whose focus is exclusively serving local government, including over 400 state, regional, local, and quasi-governmental agencies, and more than 150 system consulting projects, of which more than half had ERP-related initiatives. Barry Dunn also has extensive experience in California with over 30 implementations and ERP projects. As such, we are excited to onboard Barry Dunn with your approval. And with that, I'd like to turn it back to Claude, who can talk more about that. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions on Vince? Just move to the item, please.
Second. And I'll use boring stuff. As someone who's been here since the first decade of the 21st century, I'm sorry we've been too earlier. But we have a motion. So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed or abstain? Seeing none, motion carries. We'll move on.
in item number C, this is the local agency technical assistance grant for a broadband mapping plan. Mr. Martinez.
Good afternoon. I'm the chairman of the committee. I'll give you a quick update on our local agency technical assistance grant. We just successfully got awarded. And the grant is to do the Coachella Valley Wide Broadband Strategic Plan, SB 156. By way of background, I invested a significant amount of dollars into a lot of fiber throughout the state. A lot of it was to be installed by Caltrans. And this also ties in into what the IIJA intended fund is, what the state invests in middle mile, so that's my project. NADA grant allocated $50 million to provide technical assistance for local agencies, including organizations like CBAG, to plan and implement last mile projects. There's going to be a lot of initial outreach, engagement to get permits and ultimately come up with a design that's focused on unserved and underserved communities throughout the Coachella Valley. We'll have some engineering plans. This is what we proposed in our grant application to the state. These routes were based upon data we got from the CPUC on where there are areas of needs, again, where there are underserved and unserved communities, and we tried to touch on DC Holloway to Desert Hot Springs to the unincorporated community in Redding, North Shore, and some areas in between Mid Valley. Your report is pretty well covered in terms of the types of need in broadband coverage. Again, this just kind of shows you the map. Red, dark red indicates areas of highest need, and that's how we're that's how we're able to develop the routes. Indio was able to get some money. City of Palm Springs, City of Coachella, which we all encourage all the cities to apply for this money directly to try to optimize the amount of money coming to the Coachella Valley as opposed to CBAG just applying one grant. But we did get one of the three grants in the state that were over $500,000, so we're proud of that accomplishment. And there is a little bit of money left. I do want to point out for our tribal nations, there is a set aside, and there are some funds that are available. So just want to elevate that. The timeline, we submitted in November. We accepted an award in April. We'll go out for an RFP here in the summer, and then we'll begin implementing. We have 2 years to implement the whole Valley strategic broadband plan. We'll be working with all the cities that receive dollars to make sure there's no overlap. And we have a well-coordinated and seamless plan that ties into those cities that receive some dollars, and we'll have a final plan, hopefully by March 2025. And we are asking for you to authorize our executive director to enter into the necessary agreements and take the necessary steps to move this project along. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions you have.
Any questions?
So this is almost $1 million to develop a plan.
Right. They said you can apply for $1 million and we're trying to get $1 million. And again, a lot of the money will also go to engineering design, so we'll have some engineering drive. We know that's not cheap.
But in terms of the cooperation with the cities, there's obviously 900 and potentially, obviously there's two cities that got 200, another one, maybe another 200. So all in total, 1.6. What's that coordination like? And is there an opportunity for economies of scale? And should this organization lead it?
Yeah, so the plans that are being developed by the specific cities are going to be very localized plans that are within those boundaries. We focused on those cities that didn't apply. We're coordinating and really elevating this opportunity to all the cities to give them the opportunity. And once we're nearing the timeline and money was being moved out, we decided to take action and apply and try to cover those cities that hadn't received any dollars, particularly focused on unserved and underserved areas in the Coachella Valley. One of the requirements is that there is no overlap. We were actually required to submit letters and revise letters once some of the cities submitted to basically state that we'll be coordinating with the respective cities and ensure that we're not making any efforts.
Any other questions? We get a motion.
So moved.
Motion. The motion is second. Motion by Riverside County, second by the City of India. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Vote. Motion carries. Move on now. Item number D. This is improvements on Avenue 50 as part of CB Inc.
Honorable Chair, members of the committee, Chris Gunderson, I am the CB Inc. program manager. And what I basically do is Eric builds it and I run it. So I've had the pleasure of working with a few different cities over the past 8 weeks. I'm relatively new to CVAG. And so,
where were you before?
I am from the Clean
Duck. His knowledge to benefit the valley. Forgive us.
I stolen this one. I've had the pleasure of working with a few local cities, La Quinta, Indian Wells, Indio. Over the past 8 weeks, we've had a few events, a few people coming into the valley for the tennis tournament, arts festivals, and the 2 weekends of Coachella Fest, and the next weekend is a stagecoach. And with our regional traffic center, we're able to monitor in real time. And so I'm encouraging all you to take a quick look. We can monitor traffic in real time and see how the different traffic patterns develop, and we can make real time adjustments. And I was grateful that Ken came today because he didn't realize the impact and what we could do out there to help the cities manage the traffic and get real data. I mean, how many times I can't tell you how many times I've heard the story. I waited at that traffic signal for 10 minutes. And in reality, it was about a minute and a half. Mm-hmm. And so when we hear people say, it took us an hour and a half to get from the freeway home, in reality, the data shows that it took them about 18 minutes. So, I'm here to answer lots of questions. I'm sure I'll get more questions up there. We've got all kinds of video footage, and I could go on for hours up there. And do we have one? We do have one.
Really happy.
Eric, are you going to provide the report on the recommendation?
Here we go. This is some drone footage from the tennis tournament. This is the very beginning of the busiest Saturday. And you can see the traffic is flooding in there. And as it started to back up, we were able to adapt to some of the problems that we were having. And one of the beauty of having a system like this underlying is while this tennis tournament was going on, we actually did the synchronization of Washington as part of the CDC program, working with the traffic engineer. And this is the traffic center upstairs, and pay no attention to the shining ball pit. But we also were able to monitor the events real time. And so when we know the matches are over, we know it's about 12 minutes before the cars start leaving. And we can set timing up for that. Now it's Eric's turn. So I hope that if you come up, take a quick look, and I can answer as many questions you'd like now or up there. And other than that, I'll turn it over to Eric.
Thank you. Eric. Welcome.
Good evening, Honorable Chair and community members. We're going to work just as hard to win over any skeptics that there's any left and to keep everybody on board and be excited as Chris and I are and Thomas. So way back in December, you guys authorized us to award the contract to Crosstown. We had the contract and we had bid alternatives because we were a little bit unclear how much the total was going to be. And so it came out. And when we came to you in December, we said, let's ask for authority for the $86.7 million. We got it as the base bid. At the same time, we had 3 bid alls. A1 was Controla, A2 was Avenue 44, and A3 was Avenue 50. And we promised we'd go out and look for money and to bring more outside money into the project. And we found some. For A1 and A2, we found the Federal Community Grant Program, and we applied in March, the middle of March, I think, through our federal elected officials. And The nice thing about this to fund those two alternatives, if we get it, is 100% money, which means we won't have to match with the measure or anything. It's just 100% money to fund those pieces of Sidwell CDC. The final one, A3, having 50, we've been looking there as well. We think we found some potential funds through federal funds, congestion mitigation air quality funds that will be funneled through RPTC, and we are talking with them and working with them. We'll continue to work with them and hopefully find some of those funds out in future years that isn't identified yet, or other funds that we can use to leverage this project. And so with that in hand, we would like to move forward on these bid alternatives and authorize the executive director to enter into an amendment to the contract with Crosstown to award that A3 to put Avenue 50 into the CDC Phase 2, and at the same time authorize Tom and the staff to continue to work with RCTC to look for CMAC and or any additional funds that we can add to this project and leverage from outside of Madrid. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Is there a motion to approve?
I think I'd like to make that motion. Well,
we can second all the help you gave us. All those in favor, signify with an aye. Motion carried. Is there no? Any abstentions? Motion carried. We'll move on now to item number 9, informational items. Item number 10. Erin was supposed to be here, but she said he will send her written comments to all of us. And if there are any questions on the federal and state lobbying efforts, you can bring them up with Mr. Martinez. If not, nothing has changed.
And we are tracking virtual meeting legislation, which may or may not happen this year, but there is some legislation that would apply particularly to regional agencies or agencies like this where you're not being directly elected. This is your side job. The state should be making it easier for you to do your real elected job and easier for you to attend meetings like this. So we're supportive. You are supportive of that. We're doing our best to move that legislation forward.
Okay. Any public comments on non-agenda items? Seeing none, move on now to item number 12. Announcements. The next meeting of the executive committee will be held on Monday, June 5th at 4:30. At the CVAC conference room here. With that, we are adjourned.
Again, upstairs for anybody who wants to check it out. It will only be a few minutes.